Speaker is Paula S. from San Diego.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Paula, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm the real deal. I'd like to thank Larry for giving me this honor and privilege of sharing a little bit about how it was for me and what happened and how it is living life today. I want to welcome the newcomers. You are the very lifeline that makes this possible for me. And I want to thank you for making me feel warm and welcome. And I want to thank some very special people that came out tonight to support me in my recovery. How it was for me was a series of letdowns. It kind of like I was let down onto the floor. I was let down onto the pavement. I was let down from one standing position after another. I grew up that way. In our house of origin, what it looked like on the outside was the Brady Bunch. But on the inside, we had a secret. It was the MASH unit. And it was so much so that I learned at a very early age is how to take care of what ails you. And in fact, I was so good at it that I pursued a profession in nursing. And you can see why. I learned how to drink in our family. I learned that you drink to celebrate, you drink to ad nauseum, especially me as a projectile vomiter, with a very poor gag reflex, as all of my friends, the ones that I had for a while, could attest to. And that's just the way it was. I was very crippled and very much afraid. And the only way that I could do anything was under the influence. And I got that influence a drink at a time. And I started out like a lady for about 20 minutes. And then it progressed. It progressed to, I thought beer was a problem. I thought that having a glass was a problem because I could never fit enough into it. I eventually became a vodka drinker out of the bottle. And that's how it was. And I was a sneaker drinker. Any of those out there? You know, nobody knows what's going on in here. Except, wow. And you know, I had to fortify my drinking a little bit, only because it was really hard around patient care to remember who you were. So that's really only why I deviated to other substances or tablet forms of alcohol. So, you know, my disease progressed until the last decade. How I describe it is the lights going dimmer, dimmer to darkness. And my world got so small that it was, last decade was out, I was in my bedroom. You know, I still, could not drink openly with my partner. She's a normie. And so I hid my drinking. And I always had a better plan. Like, for instance, how I hid my drinking. My partner didn't believe in sparkling water. In fact, she believed in tap water. And as my drinking progressed, so did my consumption. And I got this plan one hangover day, is that my problem was I kept running out. And so I had procured a very good relationship with the corner liquor store person. And he would deliver before 6 o'clock. And this time I ordered 2 cases of vodka, 2-gallon cases of vodka, because my sparkless water bottle was empty. You heard of the show In Plain Sight? Well, I got that liquor store salesman to deliver just in time before the dog walkers of the apartment building started their thing that they do. And so I cleaned out the oil funnel and of the oil, and I commenced to opening these. Why do they put those damn things in those gallon bottles? I mean, come on, you know? And I had bit my fingernails down to the wick. And so you know how alcohol burns. But I was on a mission, and I filled that 5-gallon water cooler, and I discovered something, that alcohol is lighter than water. Either that, or I was had the adrenaline flowing when I picked up that gallon, a 5-gallon, and proceeded. Now, I did have this much left over, but that wasn't too bad. And I really had thought that that would last me at least a month, you know. My proportionator is broken. My next-door neighbor and I met him in recovery. Some decade before, he had over 10 years of sobriety. And whenever we would run out of our sparklets water, he would come over and borrow some of mine. And I would go over and borrow some of his, which was rare. Who drinks water? But he did come over. He had a key to my apartment. I was passed out, and I was very upset, because the next time I was going to fill that water cooler, I was going to put it in the bedroom, because it was a long ways to the kitchen. And he came over and he filled up his ice cube trays, and he took them back to his apartment. A little while later, in runs a queen. Oh, Paula, oh, Paula, don't drink the water. There's something really wrong with water. And I said, damn, I'll call sparklets in the morning. I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. And I would tell any lie so that you would not find out my secret, which was I was out of my mind and out of my control. And what ended up happening in the last 2 months of my drinking was 5-9-1-1 calls. And no, I was no longer doing the AEDs on you, but they were being done on me. And I have the burns to prove it. I was resuscitated. I was defibrillated. I was in a 10-day coma from November 8th. And I stayed in that hospital. And I heard this woman weeping when the doctor asked her to sign to have this life support on her loved one taken off. And she said, but I can't do that to my Paula. You don't understand. And I woke up, and they said, that's just a nervous reaction. So I commenced to pulling out my lines and my ET tube, and I stayed in that hospital with really, you know, I was really sick. You know, my kidneys had shut down, my liver had shut down, my mind had shut down long before. And what ended up happening is I got out on December 20th from that ICU bed, and I wish I would have told you that was the beginning of my recovery, but there were 4 more times. 8 hours later, I was in the same bed that wasn't clean from my exit. That's where the disease of alcoholism takes me, and that's as good as it ever will get. I know that the next drink, what it will do for me, and I know that I have the power over that one. I have the power that precedes that thought, and I have the power now by the grace of God. And from people like you in rooms like this that have introduced me to a new way of life through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They told me to get a book, and I could not read when I came in here. My mind was just too far gone. But they told me the very most important point of these steps is the first word of the first step, we. Paula, you never have to do anything alone in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a we program. I left the day that you left that last drink. And it's been like that for me. And I have been graced beyond measure. I was afforded this beautiful woman that came in from the San Diego Spring Roundup. She walked across the room. I was sitting by the water cooler. And the light... Old habits die hard. I have a thing for water. But the light in her eyes, like the light I'm seeing at so many of your eyes in this audience, told me that I was going to do my fifth step with that woman. And that I was going to tell her the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Because that's one thing that I hadn't done when I had come into the doors in 1987. And that was get honest. Get rigorously honest. Get totally honest. Get honest with you. Get honest with your maker. And get honest with another human being. And that someday, some way, that all of my defects of character could be transformed to help you with yours. And I cannot tell you what the journey has been for me. It started on January 11th, 2009. I have 858 days today. By the grace of God. I didn't like God when I got here. And I had a big resentment. And the resentment ended up with a lot of inventory, is that all this time I thought I would never be forgiven by God. And all the time it was that I wouldn't forgive myself. But you taught me it was okay, that the shame and the degradation and the pain I put my people through and my loved ones, you know, I got to feel all of that in the ninth step. I got to feel what it was like for what I did to other people. And I thank God that I had all of the willingness of an emergency situation. You know, and I hope that some of you, especially the newcomers, have that sense of urgency. This is a deadly disease. It's already taken people out of my life. And I wonder sometimes, I wonder, God, why me? Why have you spared me? And it was so that I could have a life worth living, that I have the freedom and the happiness today that I had never known. And I just wish part of it for you. I know that it's only the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness that keeps it from happening. How much freedom and happiness can you have in one day? Anyway, thank you for listening to me.